You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff, the podcast that celebrates those who live, love, and breathe rock and roll. From the incredible groupies, girlfriends, and wives who went after what and who they wanted, to the journalists, photographers, and other behind-the-scenes characters who play such an important part in rock and roll history, we are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show. Welcome, Lauren D'Alessio. Yeah,
thank you.
Canadian
thank you so much for
Music
having
Week.
Me. Yes.
We're so excited to talk with you. For us, Canadian Music Week has very much been chatting and interacting with really strong, powerful women. Mm. And you've been here speaking for the conference.
Yeah.
It's been a busy one.
Yes, it has. And, you know, we just happen to be recognized at the Enterprising Women Award of America for the most female-led law firm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. We have a question about that later.
Yeah.
We're going to start with that you have such an interesting backstory, pretty unique, I would say. Mm-hmm. Not many people or lawyers can say that they started as like an international Ford model. That's amazing. What lessons, if any, have you taken from that career into your law one?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being an artist is actually running your own business. A lot of people don't realize that. And putting together your A team, a part of that journey, very important part of that journey. And when you're going through borders and you're needing to get to that job or that other job, or, you know, you're a brand ambassador for, you know, a brand, you need to be properly pre-planning, and that A team should be doing that for you. So really transcending borders for people that are extraordinary doesn't just come at a snap of fingers, you know, it opening up that market and, you know, being a key part of that market safely and protecting your brand and your voice is pre-planning an A-team. Yeah.
Did you always have ambitions of entering law, and what drew you to this specific line of practice?
Yeah. So I definitely always was very attracted to the thought of being an advocate for people. I actually did try the other side of the table. I worked for the Canadian government in policy for quite some time.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I appreciate, I think the work that they're doing is amazing. I just really saw myself definitely on the other side of the table going, I really want to not so much be throwing the book at people and more be representing their needs and interests. Mm-hmm. So it comes from a pretty young age, and I think that being in entertainment I think having that skill set. I mean, I was definitely a model. I did some acting as well, and honestly, there's a lot of similarities in terms of delivery and the message that you're conveying, and how you appear to people and how you present yourself. And so I think. It was a seed within me from a very young age. Yeah.
Awesome. So for many of us, the idea of like ever needing a lawyer is pretty overwhelming. Could you explain exactly what you do and why it's important for musicians and artists alike to be represented in the industry?
Yeah. So, part of that A team, the representation, there's so much out there, but everyone has particular specialties. So, being equipped, properly with your talent management and sort of the short and then long term. So your immediate jobs and then your long term goals of what you're seeking. They're obviously helping to procure that employment really lining up those gigs. But then you're also going to have, that protection in terms of, again, your brand and your voice and your IP lawyers around that and the entertainment side. Beside that is then that representation on the transcending borders part and the opening up of multiple markets. And I hope I've answered your question. Is that sort of like your A team of representation? Yeah. Is that really the question? Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. You founded your own successful law group, which is comprised of 98% female attorneys. Yeah. And you won an award for that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That is so fantastic. Seeing successful women support other women in their success is fantastic. It's what we love doing. It's what we love talking about.
Yeah.
Why was this important to you, and how do you think the world of law can benefit from investing in more women?
Yeah. The world as it is, 2018, in law, in entertainment law, is for the most part geared toward men, the way that these law firms are run. And I had my first sampling that when I was just getting out there in the market and figuring out whether I was going to be an employee as a lawyer, and realizing that there's a few adjustments for women. They make a big, big difference. We're very, very committed. We're extremely hardworking. But if we don't have those adjustments, it can make it hard, for women to understand how that life cycle is going to, progress as you're doing your career. For example, do you have a pumping room? Mm. Do you have a place where you can breastfeed a baby? Like if a nanny or a family member were to come by and drop off the baby, for 45 minutes so you can breastfeed. Is there allowances for like the things that definitely do separate us, in that, gender perspective, but are so critical, obviously involvement, with our children. And I mean, I guess that also goes on the male side too. But so often women, it falls back on women, that childcare. And we're expected to be the ones to pick up our kids at three, take them from the school too. And of course, not all women, are having babies and doing all that. But I have found that in my practice, it's a big part of it. And firms that can provide for this, they're making budgets to go to sporting events and, what about making a budget that just recognizes such basic needs for child care and in production too. I mean, also women are having babies later. Yeah. A lot of women are having IVF. A lot of women are having IUI. Do we have a system that allows for all those doctor's visits? 'Cause it's a lot. Yeah. So, it doesn't mean that we work any less or any harder. We are very, very committed. But again, these budgetary recognitions and scheduling, calendaring allowances are life-changing for us. So that's, you know, and I would just say, you know, a real like support system and celebration of, you know, those rather unique milestones in a woman's life, yeah. You know, and just recognizing that and celebrating it as a community is, you know, is important. So, I've seen it make a very big difference in our firm. I also think that women coming together and sitting at a conference room of 25 people, and those are this conference room is going to be, within this conference room, we're going to be making all the big decisions on marketing, on sales, on production. And you look around and it's all women, mm-hmm. or 99% women or 98% women. There's an energy in that, is so amazing because we are such a diverse community. We all come from different countries all around the world, most of us, very few natives, meaning, you know, generations and generations that have come from Canada or the United States, you know. And we come from, many of us come from countries where that would never be. You would never be sitting in a conference room with women that are empowered and confident to be making such big decisions about how we're going to run a multi-million dollar company.
Just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, it's so,
it's amazing. Really, it's strong.
Yeah.
And it's strong and it's felt, and that is you know, that I just feel that if, you know, this shouldn't be the rarity, it should be the norm, yeah. You know, and especially with so many women that are in law schools, but yet the percentage that are actually graduating and going into high level positions within law firms is a very, very small percentage. So, and it's, I believe a lot of it has to do with that life cycle, mm-hmm. and trying to figure out how to deal with these phases,
yeah.
And finding a community that embraces it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's so great. Yeah, and this is exactly why we need women in positions to bring these things up and be like, what about this in the budget? What about that? Like, things that men just, it wouldn't even occur to them that, you know, this is not just a need, but like a right that we should have.
Yeah.
For sure.
Exactly.
We were wondering about your work with Artists for Change.
Yeah. So Artists for Change is an unbelievable board organization that's been created to really tackle the ever-growing, increasing problem of human trafficking, and with this particular focus on human trafficking in girls. Focusing on the developments in terms of funding and in filmmaking that is educating our community on this topic area, and you know, and pulling together people of influence that can really be instrumental, and again pulling together that funding and creating a conversation among people of even more influence that can do something about this ever-growing and increasingly awful situation that's just like unbearable situation that's been happening. And it's actually happens even right here, like right where we're sitting in Toronto, in LA. This happens everywhere. And for whatever reason, it hasn't been like a particularly... I mean, there's so much to do with cancer, and there's so much to do with, you know, lots of other like causes that have, you know, received huge amounts of funding and, you know, lots of popularity. And I think that really the focus of Artists for Change is to go, I don't think there's enough education about how how significant this issue is. And
I agree.
Yeah. On the immigration side, it's a big problem. And, you know, and the very some borders being quite porous, actually. And you know, everyone dogs Homeland Security. Everyone dogs Customs. Everyone says, oh, they're being so tough. And yeah. Indeed, they are tough. And sometimes they come after truly innocent, well-meaning people. But we want to make sure that there is, you know, sufficient controls in place, and I support it as an advocate to really come after, you know, these, you know, very criminals who are running these rings. And so, so really what Artists for Change is doing is funding and supporting filmmaking around the message of human trafficking and what it's do, what it, what's
to
happening.
Educate
to
others.
Educate others. Yeah, exactly. And to go, you know, this needs to change. We need to do something about this. We need to address it. We need to annihilate it from the existence of our modern day. And, you know, and it preys upon, you know, a lot of young girls, you know, from countries that would like to have a voice, you know, and they think about coming to America or they think about coming to Canada and they think about all the possibilities and they're really lured in, you know, by this, oh, it's going to be different here. And, you know, you just have to do this, that, and the other thing. And then you get this opportunity. So it speaks to, I think, the global, you know, inequality of between the genders. And then also it preys upon the dream, that North American wow. dream, you know. So, yeah.
Besides educating ourselves and, you know, people who are listening as well, is there anything that we can do? Is donating? Is what is there yeah. anything that we can do today? People who are listening can do?
Absolutely. I mean, donating, absolutely. I would take a look at what Artists for Change is doing and mm-hmm. I'd look at the films, like Lost Girl, for example, and if there is a place where large amounts of influential people are watching or could watch this you know film that's so educational, I would make recommendations, perhaps you know loan out space to have a viewing. You know, there's other films as well that have been carefully selected so that really we can educate and, you know, for anti-human trafficking and all that. So they really benefit from, of course, donations as well as recommendations for space, basically, to show the films too.
I like that.
Yeah, so it's a very practical, let's get educated.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Since we're here speaking with you at Canadian Music Week and you have a passion for the entertainment industry, we assume that you have a love for music. Who are some of your favorite artists?
Yes. So I have to say I am really, really impressed with Keys and Crates and the work that they are doing here, you know, in Toronto. It's funny that I'm coming from a very female perspective, but I think I'm also, you know, a huge lover of electronic music and, you know, their participation in, you know, and really the forerunners of trap music is like, you know, it just goes again to reinforce how Canadians have such an important place in the music genre of the world, you know, and it's just like, and developing that and all the innovation. You know, I would also say that I love how they've integrated tech into the music conference in such a profound way. This is really important. Technological innovation, it's not just about listening, it's therapy. And there's, you know, companies like Sub Pack, which are using music as therapy for the deaf. You know, I mean, it's like a very practical advancing the human race cause. So I applaud Canadian Music Week, you know, for this strong component of the conference. Also, from an immigration perspective, the integration of a heavy Mexico component to the conference this year, I think is very carefully chosen with the seventh round of renegotiation of NAFTA in our wake, and really going, you know what, this is North America and this is free trade and it's also trade in music too, and you know, and we have, you know, certain cultural protections in place with NAFTA for a reason, on going different ways of jurisdiction. So going to Canada, going to Mexico, doing, you know, and they're in place for a reason. They're protecting our cultural uniqueness, you know. And so I also applaud, Neil Dixon, you know, the presidente, for carefully choosing, you know, this agenda. You know, I think it's really quite timely. So, and of course, like, I mean, look at all the incredible female artists. It's just, it's astounding, really. And so, and I think as, you know, I was searching and searching and searching to see like a female celebration, mm-hmm. Which I haven't seen. Have you?
We went to a conference yesterday morning.
Okay.
The Future is
For
Female.
Me too. Yeah.
So it was an excellent panel of women in television and broadcasting, and
yeah.
The room was totally full, and it was, okay. You know, conversations that we've been having for a while now, and but that's what we've seen. And then, like I said, we nabbed Biff and
yeah.
We got June.
Yeah.
So we're having our own little celebration here because that's
yeah.
What Music Week is about for us.
Yeah.
Other than that, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there possibly could be more that's
for sure.
Done. There's more than just the Me Too movement, of course.
Yes.
It's there's more to say about women than our victimization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what about our empowerment? You know, what about how we're changing the world?
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, so I... And in a quite a serious way,
yeah.
You know, so a celebration, but then on a serious note. And I mean, talk about innovation, you know, so that's something that, you know, I think there's I love the conference has done an exceptional job. And, you know, and I look at my own law firm and I think about all the things that I can do to
yeah.
Improve it. And so I'm excited to come back next year. And
awesome. This is a yeah. Perfect lead in for my next question. We were wondering, who did you look up to growing up, or what women now are so inspiring to you that like we should know about?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so since I learned about women and the suffragette movement, for me, it's always been Susan B. Anthony.
Yeah.
You know, really being a key mover in getting the vote, you know, for women, really giving us that legal voice. And she has a quote that I just live off of, you know, and I chant it like every day. And that's failure is impossible. Women, I just, you know, and there's so much, like if you listen to her speeches, because they have, you know, they still have them, you know, obviously you can. And she talks about how women are so often objectified and, you know, and just treated like literally a piece of meat. And I think it's quite interesting me starting off my working career in the modeling industry, because there's currently hardly, there is no union for female models. You know, quite often you are treated like a piece of meat. Yet there are such inspiring, you know, supermodels and, you know, and so I think, you know, women becoming an organized collective and making change. I just love everything that Susan B. Anthony did. So so I think she's, you know, in her quotes and her speeches and, you know, her milestones are, you know, something to be studied and, you know, followed. I, you know, and relevant, even though her day is long since passed. So that for sure. I would say that, you know, more involvement in, it was my very first time at the Enterprising Women, when they, you know, when we were granted this award, you know, that was my very first female conference I'd ever attended. I never, I hadn't done anything like that. And it impressed me so much, that we can mobilize together and grow our businesses and be inspired together and learn together, and have positive competition among each other. Just like Tony Robbins and just like all these other groups that are very male dominated, you know? And so, I'm super impressed with it. So there's groups like Naobo, they're basically organizing women on a collective level for business, and it crosses all industries. And I think that we need to be more active in them and do more to support. One of the many criticisms that often female leaders point out is that women together can also be our worst enemies. You know, do we really support each other? Are we going, well, I had to go the hard way, so you should too. You know, I had to experience all that systemic discrimination, so should you. You have to go through it too. And instead, you know, sort of reach our arms, you know, and, you know, put our hands on each other's shoulders, and then have another woman kind of crawl up on our arms, our extended arms, to get to that next level, so that she doesn't have to be the one that created that bridge, you know. So I think that organizations like Naobo and Enterprising Women Organization, are doing that. You know, are really educating women to be like, it's okay. Like, you know, let's not look back. Let's just look forward.
Exactly. We're stronger together.
Yeah.
This has been so inspiring. And a lot of questions that we ask sometimes too are like, how can we improve? What's next? And you're just hitting it and you're nailing it. And I have so much hope and I have so much excitement for our next generation of young people. I work a lot with kids and with young people, and they're just growing up to just have this sense of like, I can do anything. And with people like you who are really there with, you know, just to lift people up, and yeah, you don't have to go through what the generations did before, but let's just lift each other up and
let's learn from it and grow from it. And you know what, if there's another woman that's going to be hugely successful and doesn't have to experience that, and part of that somehow is us having set the precedent that that's not okay, you know, exactly, that we are a part of it in a collective and we should support each other. Absolutely. Yeah.
Almost makes me feel like I want to be 10 years younger, 20 years younger, and try this over again, because coming from a small town in Northern Ontario, it was like, you can be a nurse or a teacher.
Exactly.
Like,
be a teacher.
Idea of being a business.
Yeah,
like,
for me as well. Be a teacher.
Being a business owner.
Government pension.
Never wasn't even talked about.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But
that's right.
That's not the case today, especially in this city.
Why are you not getting married at 24?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last one?
Yeah.
Okay. So you seem like an incredibly busy woman, yet you've still managed to find time to write a book, Going Global, Investing in U.S. Immigration. What made you decide to write it? When will it be released?
HR departments. I'm sorry. This is on a corporate level. People need to value immigration. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I am shocked, and people should be embarrassed at a corporate C-level that the budgets that are being put together for immigration are abysmal. Like, we are truly running a humanitarian organization. Like, there is so much stuff that we are doing, and we're even doing it at the corporate level for free because we care about our clients. And it's not just about collecting the documents and submitting it. There's a whole aftercare. They could get completely screwed at the moment that they're going to go to the consular officer and get the stamp in their passport to actually enter the border after the payment stops. And it's not about, you need to pay us more book. That's not what it's about. It's about understand A to Z immigration and all of the components. From an HR perspective, this is about talent acquisition and retention that transcends borders. And if you want, diversity and extraordinary ability is the name of the game now. I mean, look at the Harvard studies. Look at it all. This is why Toronto won the World Incubation Summit, like number two for the world, diversity. So immigration, huge component of that, diversity. So I mean, I'm dealing with a company right now, in fact, and I'm floored at the complete disregard for the complexity of navigating these extremely nationalistic policies and regulations to get people from A to Z, and investing in the immigration needs from a short-term as well as long-term perspective for their employees is to see the growth of their companies and the vision of their companies and secure that. You know, it's a key part of it. You know, I mean, we work with, you know, some fabulous companies, like, for example, Hyperloop, that understand that, but still there's so much knowledge, and expertise that is there and needs to be recognized. So this book is definitely an informational piece, not just going over requirements and key documents and checklists, but it's also really a how-to. So it's so that when directors of HR or even a layperson comes and has a consultation with a immigration counsel, they're asking the right questions. I hope that people come to hire us are very, well-versed, but not all lawyers are asking the right questions as well. Like, what is your short-term immigration plan? What is your long-term immigration plan? Because if you navigate things in more of a pragmatic way, you're not actually doing your client any kind of favor. And especially, in this age right now, I mean, look at Canada. Look how much harder it's now is to get to Canada and to get that permanent residence here. It is very, very tough, and a lot of people are turned around. I won't go any further on the political side, but I'll just leave that alone. But it's not just Trump. We're seeing this in Germany. We're seeing it in Canada. We're seeing it, in France. It's as increasingly interconnected that our markets are becoming with the innovation and advancement that is diverse that's coming in. Look, music, music therapy for the deaf. I was just mentioning this. Nationalistic governments are pulling back big time and closing and shutting down their borders. So the book has checklists and case studies and hypotheticals, and it's quite comprehensive, but it's also been written in completely layman terms on purpose so that it's user friendly and people can get educated.
I have learned so much in this last half hour than I think we ever have.
Thank you so much for sharing your passion, and for sure it's worn off.
Yeah, and when you're not writing amazing books and giving amazing speeches, what kind of stuff do you like to do in your spare time?
So I'm a mom. I mean, when I didn't have kids, I was, I'm an adventure seeker person. I like to play sports, and I like to climb mountains and run marathons and do that kind of stuff. But I love team sports. I love soccer. I'm a huge Manchester United fan.
I'm Chelsea.
my father, pretty much by the time I could walk, he gave me a soccer ball and showed me a wall, and he said, "Keep kicking until your kick gets you on the team." But my babies are they take every single minute of my spare time. I have a 4 and a 2-year-old, and
they're probably going to take over the world.
Yeah. They're. I mean, I'm a stepmother too to two others as well. We've got 4 kids collectively. It's a blended family, and they're all girls. So
they're definitely going to take.
Yeah, and they are very strong. Every single one of them is. Their will is incredible, and that's really what it starts with: will and perseverance. I think so. That's
kicking that ball. Amazing. Yeah. I think that's a great
I'm
place.
Working at having a little bit more me time, but quite honestly, I feel like I get my me time with them.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I bring them everywhere. China, Australia, Canada. Oh, I mean, I go, amazing. They come with us. They come with me. Yeah. So we're going to Mexico next week. We were just wrapped up Mexico Fashion Week. They were in Paris Fashion Week. Bring the babies with you. And that's the other thing that needs to change. And is like, it's okay if you're having a meeting in a conference room with your client and your baby is in the next room, like making little squeaky noises. Like, why not? Like, is it interrupting your meeting? Most of the time, not. Maybe a baby needs to go for a nap, maybe, you know, whatever. So then make sure you have your nanny around.
Yeah.
Like, what's it's wrong horrible. With that?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, why is it not professional when, you know, more than 50% of the population, you know, are perhaps going to be, very engaged in the reproductive process. Okay. So that needs to be destigmatized, you know, and I don't give a flying F if clients complain, and even staff complain that there's a baby in the office. It's like, you know what? Go somewhere else.
Yep.
In this office, the babies are welcome. And the puppies too.
All right. Well, that is a wonderful place to finish. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time. You're an absolute inspiration.
Oh,
and
geez,
we can't
thanks.
Wait
so are
to
you guys.
Keep watching.
Thank
you
for doing this. Yes. And focusing on the female thread here. You know, that's huge.
Well,
thank you.
We'll continue to do that. Have you done a TED Talk yet?
No.
It's in your future.
No. Okay.
I just got a vision.
When that book comes out.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much, Lorraine.
Thank you. All right.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.